This morning, I want to talk about a story that maybe some of you, most of you, many of you might be familiar with, and it's a story of a father, and he has two sons, and the one son thinks, you know, he's all that in a bag of chips. Hey, Angel, can you make sure we get just some pictures of, tell Shayla, make sure we get some pictures. I want pictures of all these beautiful people today. Hey, isn't it good to see the house of the Lord full today? You know what? If I even introduce myself to you, let me do that. I'm Pastor Drew. My beautiful wife, Pastor Tamara, sitting in the front row, and we're just so glad that you're with us today, and what a great service we've had already. But I won't talk to you for a long time, but I want to talk to you for a little bit about this story. of this father, and he's got two sons, and the one son, the younger son, thinks he's all that in a bag of chips, and what he does is he goes to the father and says, hey, Dad, I want the money, you know what I mean, which is, like, phenomenally rude because the father's not dead yet, you know, they're like, hey, son, what's with that, man, but he asks anyway, and the father divides his inheritance and gives the younger son, you know, his portion. And then the son, you know, goes out, you know, again, thinks he's all that, and spends it foolishly. Goes through the whole inheritance and has nothing left. Well, about this time, the economy took a bad turn, which was even worse for him. And so he can't figure out, I can't get a job. He finally gets a job, you know, feeding some pigs. And as these pigs are eating, you know, their pig food, he's looking at that food and thinking, man, that food looks good. How many know you're jacked up when pig food looks good? And that's just like, wow, that looks good. But interesting enough, because the pigs are like, well, this is my food, you know what I mean? And it kind of gives indication in the story that, you know what, he tries to, I mean, I'm not making more than what's in there, but if you read it, it kind of seems like he goes down to get some of the pig food, and the pig's like, no, dude, this is mine. Get your own, Jackson. And he's like, man, what am I going to do? I can't even, you know what, the pigs won't even give me the food. And so the Bible says he comes to himself, which is really, and he says to himself, you know what, I've got in my dad's house, there's even servants. I was part of the family, but there's even servants, and they eat all they want to eat, and if they want to have seconds, they get seconds. They can get as much as they want. And he's thinking, man, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back to my dad, and I'm just going to say, hey, what I've done was wrong. I just want to be a servant. Yeah. Now, I said all that to tell you what I'm preaching on. What I want to answer to this question, how come that son thinks he can go back to the father? How come he thinks he can go back to and be included, even as a servant, be included into the Father's house? How come he thinks that? How does he think that? Why? You know what? Some of you are trying to answer the question already. That's okay. Because you know the truth is, some of you understand the love of God. But we're getting all ahead of ourselves. Can we answer this question? Can I show you? And I could answer this question in all kinds of verses, but I want to go to Luke, and in Luke chapter 15, starting with verse 4, most of you know this story, and this is another very familiar story, and Jesus is teaching this story, and he says, hey, you know what? If there's a shepherd, and if he loses one sheep, how many know that father lost his son? Come on, you here? I need some help today, amen? You know that father lost his son. And Jesus, in this story, says, hey, if there was a shepherd and he loses the sheep, you know what he does? He goes after the sheep. It's interesting because what we do, we're reading the, you know what, as pastors, as preachers, we're going to tell you a story, and we're going to go, look, Luke 15, verse 4, and we're going to start right there. But today, what I want to do is I want to back it up a little bit, because what I want to teach you is, why did Jesus say this? Why did Jesus tell this story? Was he just like, was he just walking all along, and all of a sudden he said, hey, let me tell a story. You know what I mean? Sit on down, I'm going to tell you a story. No, that's not what happened. I want to, why does he tell this story? And then later on, he tells a story of a lady who loses a coin. Why does he tell these stories? Well, I want to show you why. Go back to verse 15, same chapter, but look at verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew to him to hear him. Who's drawing near to God? These sinners and these tax collectors. Now, let me tell you about tax collectors. How many know people? A lot of people don't like tax collectors. Yeah, I got an amen out of that one, right? Okay. But how many know, you know what, back then it was way worse. Because these tax collectors, what they did is they would, you know what, take from you what was the desired from Rome to take from you. And then they'd, you know, as they're walking out, they look at your vase and they're like, wow, that's a nice vase. And you're like, yeah, my grandma gave me that vase. That vase is worth a lot of money. And the tax collectors would say, well, what day is it today? What's the date, though? Oh, my goodness. April what? 21st. April 21st. Well, do you know that on the 21st of April, there's this tax? It's called All Vase Day. And they would take a vase. And these people knew, you know, that's not All Vase Day. That's ridiculous. You know what I mean? You just saw that vase walking out, and guess what? You know what? They'd take that vase. And nobody was going to say anything about it. And so over a period of time, they were incredibly corrupt. But it's interesting to me because in Luke says, let me tell you what was going on. There were people who were all jacked up, completely immoral, and those people were going to Jesus. And here's what they were going to him, because they wanted to hear what he had to say. Can I tell you what? We can, and all of us do this, you know what I mean? How many know we got a game face we put on, amen? And we're like, you know what? And you know what, game face, how many know we have game cars, amen? And you know what, we got game cars, and the cars, you know what I mean? I mean, we got, you know what, we got white jackets that we ironed, you know what I mean? And we, you know what, think we're, you know, somebody said, what did you say this morning? Yeah, Sunday morning fever. You know what? We think, oh, well, you know what? We're all that. And some of you don't even get that. You're like, I don't even get that. That's okay. Sorry. But the point is, you know what? We have a look, you know what I mean? And we all do this, do we not? You know what I mean? I mean, some of us will shave our head, you know what I mean? We're looking, man, I tell you what, I got that shave head look, and I got a cool cat look, and we put, you know, sometimes you know what I do when I want to be real cool? I put sunglasses up here on my head. I wish I had a pair of suits. And I just think, man, I know you don't do this. Sometimes you'll catch yourself, you know what, in the mirror thing, man, I'm looking fine today, you know what I mean? Come on, somebody say amen to this. You see, you don't want to say that, but how many know every once in a while, come on somebody, how many know every once in a while we have a good day, amen? You know, and that don't happen every day, but every once in a while, I'll look at myself and say, hey, man, you know what, Cameron's got it going on today. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Thank you, brother. But, you know, it doesn't happen often, but every once in a while. But here's what I'm saying. You know what? We've got this put on. And the truth is, Every one of us has stuff that, you know what, we're like, oh, man, I do not have it together. Can anybody relate? Can anybody have the integrity to raise over here? Even a little bit, say, ah, I got it, you know. You're right, Pastor. Okay. And that's what these guys are jacked up, and they kind of know they're jacked up, but they're not so jacked up because they're coming to Jesus. I don't know about you, but let me tell you about Jesus. Jesus can fix stuff. Amen? And Jesus can fix you. And Jesus can fix these guys. Yeah, but they're jacked up. Look at the text. It's interesting because look at the next verse. And the Pharisees and the scribes complained. Listen, can I tell you what? I don't care who you are. Anybody who knows me knows I don't care who you are. I'm glad you're here today. Amen. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't care what you did the day before. I don't care if you parked your hair in the center, on the side. I don't care if you shave your head. I don't care if you have shorts on. I don't care if you have a polo shirt on. I don't care if you have ripped jeans. I don't care about any of it. Amen? It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm just glad you're here today. That's the truth. But there's some people, and they get religious. Let me take a time out because I'm going to go in a direction. I want to make sure you understand this. Be careful when you start ripping on church and start calling church religion and think that the church is the problem. Because let me tell you about the church. God loves the church. Can you say amen? God loves the church. You know what? And I love the church. And I love when the church meets together and worships together. There's something, let me tell you about the church. And in the church, there's the preaching of the Word of God, and there's something anointed in the preaching of the Word of God that is very, very, very special. And be careful that you don't think that you can just get all that God ordained to happen in a church service outside on the Christian radio. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Pastor, you don't like Christian radio? Well, you know what? Yeah, I like Christian radio. Amen. You know, how many know the Christian radio? Better listen to you know what? I can only imagine. I mean, how many know that's better listen to that than, you know, play this funky music, white boy? Amen. But what I'm saying is, understand the importance that, you know what, church fills a critical role that God ordained for you to function in. Coming together and worshiping together. Coming and corporately hearing the proclamation of the Word of God by a man of God that is called into your life to be a spiritual father to you. Amen. Amen. That's why the Bible says my feet are beautiful. And not just my feet, but the feet of those who are preaching the gospel. God says, man, that's a beautiful thing. Okay. Now, okay, you got that? I'm not talking about the church. I'm talking about religious people. And so these people are religious people. And imagine somebody complaining about somebody coming to Jesus, recognizing they need help. I don't want to complain about somebody, and you know what? Maybe they have a different style than me. Amen. You know, I don't wear my baseball cap to the side. You know what I mean? I don't do that. Why? Because that just wasn't what I learned. Amen. How many know you have stuff growing up and you learn stuff? You know what I mean? I love Pastor Bradford. He's went on to be with the Lord. He taught me such wonderful things. But I remember when we were in Pastor Bradford's church, and you know what? If you know what, we submitted to to his authority. We knew that that was biblical. But I remember, you know what? We had a lot of youth in that church, and sometimes the youth would come in and they'd wear their baseball caps. You know what I mean? You know, because they got it going on. You know what I mean? And sometimes, I'm just saying sometimes, I don't know if this is still popular, but what back in the day, you know what, if you, you know, you had a style, you had a baseball cap, and if you really had style, you'd put that baseball cap a little askew to the side. So, man, I tell you what, I don't got it going on, I got it going on. You understand? Well, Pastor Bradford would see that going on. He'd be like, Why they wear? He'd talk to the youth pastor, you know what I mean? And he'd say, Jerry, why are they wearing that baseball cap in church? You know what? And Jerry, he knew. And part of him wanted to say, hey, Pastor Bradford, let's just praise God that they're in church. Let's not talk to them about their baseball cap. Let's just thank them that we got a 14-year-old coming to church. Amen. Because a lot of 14-year-olds aren't coming to church. Amen. And that wasn't my place because I wasn't the senior pastor. But can I tell you what? I don't care if you have a baseball cap on. You know what I mean? Matter of fact, next week I might wear a baseball cap. Amen. Why? Why? Because it really doesn't make any difference to me. Amen. Oh, Pastor, you shouldn't drink a cup of coffee in church. Amen. What? Why not? Amen. You could, because if you understand who the church is, we're the church. Amen. This ain't the church. Amen. This ain't the church. This is a building that we come. We are the church. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? You know, one time, this is a true story. One time we had a guy and he was from another church. He was, matter of fact, he was an elder of another church. Listen, let me tell you what. Elders, if you're an elder, I expect you to act like an elder. Amen? Can I say that? You know, elders ought to act like an elder. You know what I mean? And you know what? And he was helping us out, doing something. You know what? Helped us out. And you know what? Tamara, gracious. How many know Tamara's a gracious host? And so what she tried to do is she went to McDonald's, you know what, and she got some of those really expensive, Egg McMuffins, amen? Well, she was just thinking, let's have something to eat. And she took that little McDonald's bag, and she brought it into the church, and we sat right up on the stage, and Tamara and I, we'd be here, 2 o'clock in the morning working at the church. No big deal to get some, a burrito, chimichanga, my favorite, and bring it in and eat it right there up on the stage. Amen? Yes. And so she came in there with the bag. We've done that, hundreds of times probably. And we brought that bag in, and and she smiles. She's like, hey, look, I got some breakfast. And he was like, let's eat that outside. Those Egg McMuffins shouldn't be in the sanctuary. I'm like, huh? What are you talking about? Egg McMuffins? Did the Egg McMuffin? Here, I just want to ask, what unholyized the church? Amen. You know what? Was it the egg or was it the McMuffin? I'm just asking. You know what? Or was it the Mexican salsa that you put on? What was it? What unsanctified, how ridiculous, amen? How ridiculous that these people would be upset that somebody who needs help would come to help, would come for help to Jesus. How ridiculous this is. Amen. How many know Jesus is not only going to help the Pharisees, or he's going to help the sinners and the tax collectors. Guess who else Jesus is going to help right now? Jesus is going to help the Pharisees, man. Watch this. So you see it? So he spoke this parable to them, saying. Sometimes we just all of a sudden start with Luke chapter 15, verse 4, and we say, you know what? Hey, there was this guy, and he had 100 sheep, and he lost one. We start right there. But I say today, no. Let me ask you, why he said this to these people. Here's why. Here's the context that he says this. So he spoke this parable. He's responding to their craziness. And saying, hey, guys, you know what? Whoa. You want to correct me? Let me teach you something before we move on. Amen? Now, let's talk about what he's going to teach them. Look what he's going to say. Everybody say, this is in response to the Pharisees' craziness. Okay, so go to verse 4. Then he says, in response to them, so because of this, he says this. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness? Everybody say, in the wilderness. Okay, that's an important nuance there. And go after the one which is lost until he finds it. And when it is found, he lays it on his shoulders. And what does he do? And he rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you, he got all eyes up here. He told this story, and now he's going to talk. You'll be my Pharisees today. Sorry. Do you understand? So he's got done telling the story. Then he's going to say, okay, whoa. I say to you. See, he's teaching. How many? Jesus was a phenomenal teacher. Phenomenal. And so then he says, now you guys who think it's wrong to all these tax collectors and sinners that you're going to judge me because they come to me. Let me tell you the story, and let me tell you what's going on here. Let me teach you something. Then I say to you that likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Wow. Now, can I? Thank you. Can I break it down for you? Yeah. And can I teach you something that maybe you never saw? Because most people, they read something, and because they've been, they look at it a certain way, they can't ever look at it another way. Yeah. I'm just asking you. This one that they've lost, we've always taught that it's like, man, I got 100 people right here, and they're all Christians, and then this person over here, he just goes, he says, man, I just, you know, I'm gonna do drugs now. And he gets up and I'm gonna stop. I don't like going to church all the time. I don't like reading my Bible. This is like I'm tired and doing good. I'm tired of being so, you know what? No more. You know what? He starts like, no more, Mr. Nice Guy. I'm leaving. Amen. I'm gonna do my own thing. Amen. Happens. How many know it happens in the church all the time? And we say, oh, that's what he was talking about. Why do you think that? All I'm suggesting is maybe that's not what's happening at all. Maybe the lost people, or maybe the 99 are the people that are outside the body of Christ. Maybe there's a lot of people who are just lost, who are far from God. But there's this one guy who recognizes that he needs help. Here, look at, before you judge it, look at the context. Watch this. So then I say to you, likewise, there is more joy in heaven over one sinner, who repents.
Come on, amen.
Amen. And then look at it. I'm just keep an open mind with me here. Watch this. Look at the text. Who repents? Then over 99 just persons who need. Do you see that? Who need no repentance? You say, yeah, Pastor, they don't need no repentance because they accepted Jesus. Yeah, it could be, or it could be like a lot of people just think that they don't need God in their life. Amen. They just think that, you know what, everything's okay. I'm not that bad. Oh, I'm not that bad. How many know you can find somebody who is in worse condition? How many know you can find somebody who cusses worse than you? Come on, somebody. You know, how many know you're like, well, you know, Pastor, you know, how many know you can find someone, you know, you're harsh with your wife. You're like, well, listen, dude, I don't beat her. Hello? Amen. Come on, don't shout me down when I'm preaching good. Or maybe you do beat your wife. You're like, hey, well, at least I don't beat my grandma. Amen. That guy beats his wife and he beats his grandma. Amen. Pastor, that's ridiculous. No, let me tell you what's ridiculous. What's ridiculous is when you think that you are not that bad. That's ridiculous. You want to know ridiculous? That's ridiculous. Amen. See, God says, you know, let me tell you what I'm into. I'm into the one that's repenting. Think about it. Think about it. Here's what the Bible says. That if we draw close to God, God draws what? Close to us. See, I'm saying in the context of what we know in the Bible about the character of God, is it that God's going after the 90, or going after the one? Or is it that the one is like the tax collectors and the sinners, and they recognize how jacked up they are, and they are going towards God? And as they go towards God, what does God go towards? He goes towards, he's finding that one. I'm just saying, could that be more of what Jesus is talking about? Because I would say theologically, hermeneutically, we have missed this passage and the depth of this passage by a mile. Why? Because what is it in response to? It's in response to these religious leaders complaining that there are sheep who've been lost, who are turning towards God, and Jesus, instead of running from them, he runs to them. Are you catching this? Could it be? Watch this, because it just gets more and more and more clear. Let's go back to that last part. You know what? I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy. He's saying, guys, these sinners that you see as sinners, God is rejoicing that they're coming to me. Amen. You ought to be happy, not sad.
That's right.
You ought to be happy, not judgmental. Amen. Can we be happy when people who don't know Jesus come into the church? Amen.
Amen.
Can we be happy when people who have sexual dysfunction? Can we be happy when they come into the church?
Yes.
You know, I was talking to a guy, right here in the parking lot, about a year ago, you know what, in the AutoZone parking lot, I invited him to church, and he said, hey, I introduced myself. I said, I'm Pastor Drew. I pastor this church right over here. He said, hey, Pastor, can I ask you something? I said, absolutely. He said, you know what, can let me tell you what turns me off about church? I said, yeah, well, I mean, talk, man. And he said, I said, sure. He said, well, you know what? There's so much hypocrisy in the church. And I just let him talk. I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, like for instance, he said, pornography. You know what I mean? I've heard that there's all kinds of people that are just because of the numbers, there are all kinds of men in the church and they're watching pornography. And you know what? And what's with that? He said, Pastor, what do you say? Here's what I said. I said, well, yeah, you're right, man. Pornography is jacked up, and it jacks marriages up, and it jacks men up, and it's just, man, it's an awful thing. I said, but you know what? Here's what I don't do at Hope. I don't have a big sign out front, you know what? You know, taped to the wall, right in the middle of those two double doors. I don't have a big sign that says, you know what? If you've watched pornography this week, please don't come in. Come on.
Some of you, I don't even know, should I say amen to that or should I not? I'm not sure what I should do. You know, I don't know. I get that. But let me just tell you what, you can say amen to that. You know, and I said, because you know the truth is, if I had that sign, then I need another sign. You know what I mean? And I need a sign that talks about, you know what, anger and freaking out on you. You know what? You know, how many women freak out on their kids? Amen? I'm just out of line. Ah! It's like, huh. Amen? That was good, huh? You know, how many women do that? You know what I mean? You know what the Bible says? The Bible says that the wrath of men doesn't produce the righteousness of God. Amen? I mean, no, ladies, this is not helpful to teach your little ladies how to be good ladies of God. Amen. But you know what? But what in the world? Do I need that sign too? Do I tell all those ladies that freaked out? You know what I mean? Stay out because you're hypocrites. You know what I mean? And then do I need another sign? Can I keep on going? Trust me, I'll get to your sign pretty soon. If I haven't got to your sign yet, I'll go and get to your sign pretty soon. Amen. Amen. And what am I saying? What are we? No. This is not the will of God. This is not what God wants. This is not what Jesus came for. And let me tell you what, this is not what Jesus sent us for into the world. See, who are these people? These people, there's these people, and guess what? They don't need God in their life. Some of them have been raised in religious circles. Watch this. Some of them aren't religious at all. They say, I don't think God exists. I don't need to go to church. You know what? I was just, you know what? I mean, come on. Get scientific. You know what I mean? You know, get scientific. You know what? All of a sudden, you know what? There was this one cell, and it turned into two cells, and then turned into four cells, and all of a sudden, you had this, you know what? All of a sudden, there was me. Amen? You know, get scientific. Oh my goodness, get, I just want to say, listen, this is craziness. Listen, you look it up on the internet. There's all these scientists now that are saying, you know what is real science? Real science is that there is a purpose behind someone. There's a creator behind a creation. You know, what do you think? You know what, somebody just, you know what, how do you think this watch was made? You think somebody just, you know what, threw, you know, you ever been working on something and you throw leftover parts? Come on, man, you know what I'm talking about? And a screw here and a nail there and all of a sudden you throw it. Because what I do, I always use that stuff, you know what I mean? And so I throw that in the tool drawer and at the bottom I was like, oh, there's got to be a nail. And I find that stuff all the time. So let me tell you how this watch came about. I just was throwing stuff in there, and it was so cool because it took a long time for it to happen. It didn't happen, you know, in 3 weeks. You know what I mean? You know, but it, you know, in you know 400 million years, you know what I mean? I was going into, and I opened up the drawer, and I was like, "Honey, look, a watch." You said, "Pastor, no, you said, Pastor, that's crazy." Well, you know what? That's exactly what the many of the educational scientific world wants you to accept. Yeah. Amen. All I'm saying is, listen, there's all kinds of walks of life, some very educated, some less educated, and you know what? For all different reasons, they say, I don't need God, I don't need God, I don't need God. And there's a whole bunch. And notice again, and I'm just showing you in the text, it's interesting because the Bible says, wide is the way that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to everlasting life, and few. The Bible says many and few. Many are going to destruction, and few are going to, well, look at this. Look at that. Oh, my goodness, look. 99 don't need any help. And this one guy needs some help. Are you learning something today? Are you learning something today? And then what does he say? Look what he says. Then he says, no, let me show you some passage on this. You know what? You know what? As it were, there is none righteous, no, not one. You know what the Bible says? There's nobody is righteous. Not even one person is righteous. What does the Bible say? Mark says this. You know what? And remember when Jesus told the rich young ruler? He said, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that's God.
Amen.
See, you know why people don't come to Jesus? Because they don't need Jesus. They're cool. They got it together. And I would say, well look what, I don't have it here. I'll look it up in Revelation.
Oh, I got it here.
Revelation, look at 3:15 says, I know your works, that you are neither hot or cold. See, there are a lot of people coming to church. They're like, let's not get fanatical. You know, I don't have to do all that stuff. I just cruise in here. You know what? When nothing else is going on, then I come to church. Let's not get fanatical. When everything goes on, let's not get fanatical on this. They're neither hot nor cold. You know what I mean? Can I tell you what God wants? God doesn't want you hot or cold. You know what God wants? God wants you hot. God doesn't want you. Listen, even those, some of you come Sunday and Wednesday. But you know what? If we snuck around and looked at your behavior on Monday and Thursday, man, we'd be like, what's up with that? Amen. Why are you different? How many know we shouldn't be different? Amen. How many know we shouldn't be different? And I know we're all working on our stuff, but I'm just saying, how know we shouldn't be different? God wants you to be. You know, can you imagine? God wants you to be in love with them every single day. Can you imagine? You know what? I'm like, yes. My wife kisses me once a week. It's so awesome. On Sunday, I get my kiss. Oh, give me my kiss. How many know that is not cool? I mean, that is not what I want. That's not what anybody wants. Can I tell you why I don't want that? Can I tell you why I don't want that? Come on, somebody help me out. Can I tell you why I don't like that? Quiet. Here's why. Because your kiss is on my list. Because your kiss, I can't resist. Can I tell you what? God's the same way. Amen. I don't want my kids, you know, telling me they love me once a month. I don't want that. Thank you. I want to hear that all the time. Can I tell you what? That's what God wants. God doesn't want you in and out. God wants you in. God wants you on fire for him. Look what he says. You know what? These people, I know you. I know what's going on. You're neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were cold or hot. Now, why would it say cold? Because how many know if you're far away from God, there's a lot more likelihood you're going to say, oh my goodness, I am jacked up. But he wants you hot. Look what he says. So then because you are lukewarm, listen, because you are lukewarm and neither hot or cold, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Okay, moving on. Watch this. But here's what I wanted to catch. Because you say, what do you say? Here's the problem, that there's 99, the majority of people, they don't need God because they're not that bad. They're not that bad. Because you say, I'm rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. God doesn't exist. You know what? Jesus is a fairy tale. All these religious crazy people think they need, it's a crutch. And I do not know. Watch this. I am rich because you say. Somebody say, you say.
You
say. Okay. I am rich. I have become wealthy. I have need of nothing. And do not know. Watch this. That you are. Look at what you really are. God says, you're wretched. You're miserable. You're poor. You're blind. And you're naked. And you think you all that in a bag of chips. So I was like, you don't really know the state that you're in. Are you catching this? See, watch this. Let me go back to what I'm teaching. Why is God talking about going after this one? Here's why. In response to these guys who are critical, because Jesus is talking to people who recognize how jacked up they are. Does that make sense? See, I'd say I love people who need help. I love people who recognize they need help. I want to be someone who recognizes, man, I got a lot more to work on in my life. And I don't know where you're at. I don't know whether you've been coming to church every Sunday and Wednesday and you think you're okay because you come to church Sunday and Wednesday. I don't know. Or I don't know, maybe you haven't been in church in a long time. I don't know. I'm not here to judge you. I'm just saying that Jesus, listen, I don't teach religious stuff. I teach Jesus and his teachings. And Jesus tells these crazy religious people, hey, knock it off. These people recognize that they need help. So you know what he's like? He's like, hey, get off their case and get off my case. Because let me tell you what, real religion is to care about poor people, the Bible says. Real religion is to take care of widows. Real religion cares about, you know what, people who need help. That's what James says. And that's what God says. And that's what I want to have in this church. And that's what this church is about. It's not about checking off a list. You know what? Oh, I went to church. You know what? Aren't I sanctified? No. These people are messed up, but they don't even recognize how messed up they are. Yeah, Pastor, I thought you were talking about this son, this that was a prodigal. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Here, I'm a come full circle. How come this kid knows that he can come back to his father's house? See, I would argue and say, not only this kid has a speech. What's his speech? Dad, I blew it. I sinned against you. I sinned against God. I'm sorry. I don't want to be a son anymore. Just make me a servant. You know what? He doesn't get halfway through his spiel, but that the father doesn't even listen to him anymore. He just looks at the servant and says, hey, go get this. Go get that. Go, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's go. Come on, mama. You know what? And what I would say is this. I would say that this son knew in the back of his mind that he wasn't only going to get halfway out of his speech. Why? Here's why. Here's why. Because you went there. Here's why. Because he understands how loving the Father is. That's what he understands. See, let me ask you this. Why couldn't this kid come back to the Father? Or why can these tax collectors, you know what, or these sinners come to Jesus? Or let me ask you this. Or why in the world would Jesus talk to them? Why does Jesus talk to the woman at the well? You know what? She's a Samaritan. The Jews didn't even have any dealings with the Samaritan. Why is he talking to her? Why is he talking, you know, to the woman of the well? Why is he talking to the woman, you know what, caught in adultery? Why does he let the lady anoint him with oil? A known prostitute. Why does he let her anoint him with oil? Or let me ask you this. Why in the world, you know what, is he spending all this time with these 12 goofballs that he calls apostles, one of which would deny him and ultimately be, to some extent, responsible for his going to the cross? Let me ask you this. Why does he call David a man after his own heart when David was an adulterer? And David, not only adulterer, but then to cover up his adultery, he murders, you know what, her husband. Why does he reclaim Peter, who denied him, you know, of his willingness to
to, or why does he listen? Why does he reclaim Peter? Or why does he have this willingness to have a conversation with Saul? Saul, who is at that point in time preparing the death and misery of Christian people. Or why does he love Moses and use him? Another person who's committed, murder. And used him in such a mighty way to deliver Israel. Or why is he willing to use Rahab, a harlot, to deliver a city? Or why does God use Gideon, the least of the least? Or why does God have a record of forgiving and redeeming prostitutes, drunkards, pimps, whoremongers, liars, and swindlers? Or in the world, how in the world can God make battered and self-loathing individuals transform them into the most joyful, the most beautiful, the most righteous? One word. Or say it like this: one name. The name that is above every other name that is named. The name of Jesus. And why is the name of Jesus above every name that is named? Because the Bible says he was obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. And why in the world did it please God? The Bible says that it pleased God to crush Jesus. Why in the world did it please God to crush Jesus? Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. And there is no one, and I mean no one, that can qualify to take away sin of the world away except the perfect Jesus. And why would this kid, or any kid for that matter, even think he could come back to the Father or be given a place in his Father's house? Here's why. Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's why. That's why. And so I say to you, we have every reason to be full of joy. We have every reason to be optimistic in our marriage, in our health, in our life, in our yuck that we come today in. God says, let me tell you what I do. I raise the dead. That's what I do. And I've raised Jesus. And I will raise you from the junk that you're in. If you'll simply come to me and say, God, I don't want to be like the 99. I want to be like the one who says, I need help. With every head bowed and every eyes closed. If you say, I'm not in the family of God. I want to come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. I'm jacked up, and I know I'm jacked up, and I want to say I'm sorry. I want to accept Jesus in my heart today. Or maybe you already have Jesus in your heart, but you've walked far from God. Or maybe you just feel like you're not on fire for Christ, and you know there was a time in your life that you were more in love with Jesus than you are now. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. And I'm not going to call you up front after. I'm just going to pray with you right where you're at. All hands up all over the room. Raise up your hands right now. Yes, all over the room. Now put your hands down, but pray this with me. Jesus, come into my heart. Fix me from the inside out. I'm sorry, but I want to make you my Lord. Now, for those of you who have gone far from God, just tell him right now. Just repeat this after me. Jesus, I want to be close to you. I don't want to be far from you anymore. I don't even want to hang out, Sunday and Wednesday with you. Say that. I don't even want to hang out Sunday and Wednesday with you. I want to hang out every day with you. Forgive me in my farness. Thank you for this message that you had to speak to me today. Thank you for reading my mail today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, 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 amen.